So what God demands from every person that's born, he demands that you must be equal in standing with him. And there's no way that we can do that. We all break the law. So what does God do? What God demands from every person by his incredible grace is unbelievable love. He provides for man.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn.
Well, hello again. We are pleased that you've joined us for Love Never Fails. We continue Pastor Bill's study from the New Testament epistle of Galatians today. Pastor has entitled this message, Who Has Bewitched You? Now let's join the study.
Amen. Let's turn our Bibles this morning to the epistle of Paul to the churches of Galatia. We're going to be in chapter 3, Galatians chapter 3. We'll be in verse 1 in just a moment. You know, Paul, these chapters, 3 and 4, very important as we've been journeying through this great epistle. Chapters 3 and 4 are the greatest defense of the doctrine of justification by faith in the Word of God. And matter of fact, someone has said, I forget who it was, that these 60 verses, I believe it is, that are found in chapter 3 and chapter 4 are the greatest words that Paul the Apostle ever penned. And he's going to come to the defense of justification by faith alone, being saved by faith, okay? He's going to do so two ways. In verses 1 through 5, he's going to talk about the Galatians' personal experience when they came to Christ, the new birth. And then in verses 6 through 14, he's going to prove that justification is by faith alone from the Word of God, from the Scripture. So remember that in Galatians, the great theme is really what makes a person a Christian. Is it salvation by faith alone, by God's grace, or is it Jesus plus something else? Do we have to add something to make sure that we're saved? And that's exactly what the Judaizers were trying to teach and so forth. But we know that salvation is by faith alone. But before we begin this morning, if your Bibles are open or maybe your telephone or cell phone, iPad, whatever it might be, I want you to look back at Galatians chapter 1 and look at verse 6 with me. And just follow me, because we're going to go through Galatians with just a few scriptures. Paul the Apostle writes in Galatians 1:6, talking to the church there, he says, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ, the unmerited, unearned, unconditional, unmerited. Thank God for the grace of Christ. But look what they turned to. Not only away from grace, these are believers, loved one. They turned to a different gospel. There's only one gospel, amen? There's not any other gospel but one, and that's the one that we have. Now look at Galatians chapter 3, verse 1. It says, O foolish Galatians, and what's that next word? Let's say it together. Who has bewitched you? Who has cast a spell upon you? Now look at chapter 4, verse 9. But now after you have known God, you know the Lord, you're born from above, or rather are known by God, how is it that you, look at that word now, turn again to the weak and beggarly elements, now watch, to which you desire, your craving, your longing, you desire again to be in what? In slavery, in bondage. Now look at chapter 5, verse 7. Paul says to the churches of Galatia, you ran well. Man, you were running the race of faith. And he says, and there's that word again, who hindered you? Who stopped you from obeying the truth? Now, a question this morning, before we get into these 14 verses that we're going to cover. You know, loved one, why in the name of Jesus did the Galatians desire bondage? Think about that for a moment. I mean, they walked away from the freedom that they had in Christ, and they went into slavery. Why would any person that claims to be a Christian, that is born from above, why would they turn away from the only true gospel? What would make a person turn from grace to legalism? I mean, what causes that? Or go back to the law. Now, with all that being said, did you know that is happening today? It's unbelievable the time that we're in. Some are even calling it the great falling away has started. I don't know, but I know that many are walking away from Christianity. This morning, I want to talk from the topic of this. When Paul says, who has bewitched you? Who has cast a spell upon you? God's word is speaking to you this morning as well as it was 2,000 years ago. With all that being said, let's begin, though, at the end of chapter 2. And I want you to look at verse 21 to begin this morning's message. Paul writes, we picked this up from last week. Paul says, I do not set aside the grace of God. For if righteousness, that word means right standing with God, to be free from all guilt. If righteousness comes from the law, then Christ died in what? In vain, needlessly. There's no purpose in his death. If I can earn my salvation, if there's some kind of human merit that can say, Lord, thank you, you know, I can do this, Jesus plus Bill doing something, now I know I'm really saved. Listen, loved one, Jesus died needlessly if the law can give us a right standing with God. Matter of fact, the law nullifies, if you return to the law, it nullifies the cross completely. Now, so Paul begins our message this morning. He's going to ask six questions after verse 21. You know what verse 21 was really saying? It is absolutely crazy for someone who says they know the Lord to embrace a doctrine which states that the death of Jesus Christ on the cross was totally unnecessary. So Paul now says unto them, look at verse 1, O you foolish Galatians, and there's that word again, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified? So Paul calls them fools. He says, what in the world is wrong with you? Who's cast that spell upon you? And who's bewitched you? So what is Paul doing right now? Paul is appealing to their past experience, if you will, of their new birth when they came to Christ. He says, how in the world can you turn away from the truth of the gospel, the grace of Christ, which saved you? How can you do that? What happened where now you don't believe that Jesus is enough? And may I add, Jesus is enough. Amen. He's enough for whatever we're facing in this life. Paul says, you know, don't you remember when you heard the truth, you believed the truth, and what happened? You experienced the new birth. That's what happened to you and me. And so he says, who has bewitched you? Who's done that? And that's actually, he's being ironic. Did the churches of Galatia, did they know who was casting a spell upon them? Yeah, they did. It was the Judaizers. They were coming in with all this false doctrine and so forth. They had taken their eyes off of Jesus. So remember what the Judaizers did? They came in and they perverted the truth of the gospel. They denied that God's grace was sufficient enough. They denied that Jesus was enough. If you really are going to be saved, you want to make sure you're saved, you're going to have to do something. You're going to have to become a Jew. You're going to have to become circumcised. Then you're really going to be saved. That's a false gospel, amen? And that's exactly what they were doing. So Paul says, you're without excuse, man, because when I brought you and led you to the Lord, I clearly portrayed, or literally that means to paint a picture of Christ crucified and what his crucifixion meant. Now, with all that being said, they'd taken their eyes off the Lord. I pray you haven't. The Bible says in Hebrews 12:2, it says, looking unto Jesus, the author, the finisher of our faith. Now look at verse 2. And this only I want to learn from you, Paul says. Did you receive the Spirit, meaning the Holy Spirit, by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Which one was it? In other words, it couldn't be by the law, salvation by works. No, there's no way. He says it has to be by the hearing of faith, which is salvation by faith and faith alone. You see, he says, how in the world did you do that? Did the Gentiles even have the law? No, the laws belonged to the Jews. So how did you come to Christ? You know what you did? It was the hearing of faith. Romans 10:17, faith cometh by hearing, and by hearing the word of God. And the moment that you believed and trusted Christ as your Lord and your Savior, you know what happened? The Holy Spirit came into your heart. Listen to what it says in Ephesians 1:13. It says, in Jesus you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom having believed, that's past tense, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Loved one, that's the entire gospel of salvation in one verse. Isn't that amazing? You heard the good news. You believed the good news. You asked Jesus to be the Lord of your life. The moment that occurred, the Holy Spirit came in and sealed your heart permanently, forever and ever and ever. And so Paul says right there, he says, oh, listen, he says, are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, meaning again the Holy Spirit, you see the capital S, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? I hope that's not you. Paul says, are you so foolish? He says, he who began a good work in you, are you now going to complete what God started in you, that process of sanctification, taking you from glory to glory to glory into the same image of Christ Jesus? Are you by some fleshly merit or fleshly work, you're going to do that? It's an impossibility. Jesus said in John 6:63, it says, the Spirit gives life, but the flesh profits us absolutely nothing. Verse 4, he says, have you suffered so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? I know that sometimes when we read the Word of God, like this, that one verse, you may say, okay, I guess they were probably, at the first reading, you'd say maybe they're suffering from persecution. In other words, before they were led astray by the false teachers. However, if we did something different in this verse, because see, I couldn't find anywhere in God's Word where the Galatians were suffering any kind of persecution. I didn't see that. But if we really study out the Greek language there, and we could define the word suffer in the Greek as the word experience. So let me read it to you another way, this fifth question from Paul. He says, did you suffer in vain? Did you suffer in vain for nothing? Now, combined with verse 5, have you experienced such great things, the gift of the Spirit, the ensuing mighty works of God, for no purpose? So that's why Paul then goes into verse 5 and he says, therefore, God who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? In other words, the incredible miracles that were taking place there in their congregation. He says, are you trying to tell me that that came by the works of the law? That you earned it, that some kind of human merit made that happen, the Holy Spirit came and all these things were happening? No, he says it came by the hearing of faith. So what's Paul saying? He's saying, what happened to your life? What happened to your life of faith or the race of faith that you were running? In other words, who has cast a spell upon you? Who has bewitched you? So now Paul's going to change. He's going to remove the spell that they were bewitched under, if you will, just using that as an example. And he's going to take us all the way back to the greatest example of justification by faith alone in the Bible. And that, of course, is Abraham. So look at verse 6 with me. He says, just as Abraham, what? Believed. That's it. He didn't do anything else. Just as Abraham believed God. And look what happened as a result of Abraham believing God. It was accounted to him for righteousness. Now remember the Judaizers, okay, the false teachers that were running into the Gentile churches saying, no, you've got to keep the Mosaic law. You have to be a Jew. You have to be circumcised and all of that. Listen, they were saying Jesus wasn't enough. So the Judaizers, Paul is so brilliant here. Here's what he does. See, he knew that the false teachers trusted in the laws of Moses, the five books of the law of Moses. So what does he do? Well, he takes us back 500 years before Moses was ever born. And what he does, he uses Abraham to prove that justification is by faith alone. Now, when and how was Abraham justified by faith alone in the sight of Almighty God? Remember that God called Abraham, or Abram, out of the Ur of the Chaldees, that's Genesis chapter 12, and called him and said, listen, I'm going to make a great nation out of you. You know, whoever blesses you, you know, will be blessed and so forth. And he says, I want you to go and leave your country. Abraham was 75, or Abram, they changed his name later, but 75. 10 years pass, okay? So now he's 85 in the book of Genesis chapter 15. And it says this, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. So God's giving Abram a vision, and God said this, oh, Abram, do not be afraid. I'm your shield, your exceeding great reward. But Abram said, oh, Lord, what will you give me, seeing I go childless? So he and Sarah had no children. He says, I don't have any child. He said, but the heir of my house is Eleazar of Damascus. And then Abram said, look, you've given me no offspring. Indeed, one born of my house, he can be my heir. Behold, the word of the Lord came to him and saying, oh, Abe, listen, this one shall not be your heir, but the one who shall come from your own body shall be your heir. How would you like to be 85 years old and God says that to you? Who was the heir of Abraham? Isaac. His name means laughter. I'd laugh too. Amen. Come on. Yes. And so God reminds him of that. Now here it comes. Listen carefully. It says, and then God, I love this scripture, then God brought him outside. Remember, he's in a vision now. Brought him outside and said to Abraham, look now toward heaven. Count the stars if you are able to number them. And he said unto Abraham, so shall your descendants, your children, your seed, so shall your descendants be. Boy, I'll tell you, God is so good, isn't he? You know how much he loves us and how much he loved him. You know, man, he brings him outside and says, oh, Abe, you just want one kid? That's all you want? No, I want you to look up at the stars. Can you count those stars? Because so shall your descendants be. Every time after that Abraham went out at night and looked at the stars, do you think he remembered that moment? Absolutely. So listen, and then listen to what happened now. And Abram believed. That's it. He believed the Lord, and God accounted it to Abraham for righteousness, for right standing. That's the John 3:16 of the Old Testament, loved one. Listen, by Abram simply believing God's promise. What was it? Abe, so shall your descendants be. God said, that's all I need. You believe my promise. Now listen, Abraham was not saved by keeping the law. See, the Judaizers were trying to make the Galatian churches, the Gentiles, keep the law. Abraham wasn't saved by the law. You know why? The law wasn't given for 500 more years. And they say, well, you have to be circumcised if you're going to be really saved to the Gentile Christians. No. Abraham is 85 in Genesis 15. It was all the way over, what, Genesis 17 before he was ever circumcised. He was 99 years old then. So we know that a ritual didn't save him as well. Same thing with us. How did we come to Jesus? How did we get saved? Well, I was baptized four times. I signed a card. I'm a church member. No. Jesus be the Lord of my life. Do you believe? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whoever believeth in him shall not perish, have everlasting life. That's it. Do you hear me? That's it. What activates John 3:16? One word. Believe. Justified. And that's what God did to Abraham. The Bible says in Romans 4:1, what shall we say that Abraham our father has found according to the flesh, meaning his own labor, his own merit? For if Abraham was justified, declared righteous in the eyes of Almighty God, listen carefully, by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does Scripture say? Abraham believed God. He believed what God said. He believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. The result of faith alone in the Lord Jesus Christ, loved one. Just that right then, it was accounted for righteousness. That word accounted is a bookkeeping term there in the Hebrew, okay? And it literally, it just means this. It means to take what belongs to someone else or out of someone's account and put it over into your account. In other words, righteousness, the right standing of God, was now transferred over to Abram, and sin was removed. In other words, he was now in right standing with God. The same thing for us. When we come to Christ, did Jesus pay all of our sin debt? The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God in Christ Jesus is eternal life. That's a gift. You can't earn it. Listen, all of our sin when we came to Christ, oh Lord, forgive me, be the Lord of my life. Our past, our present, our future is now gone. It is far as the east is from the west. The entire sin debt of the entire world, Jesus bore on the cross. Amen? Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, the whole world. Every person's sin's been paid for. But if you don't receive Christ, then you'll pay for your sin yourself. No. Praise God. The Bible says in Romans 8:1, therefore there is now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. No judgment. Why? He's taken our sins. Jesus paid for them. They are now as far as the east is from the west. They are gone, loved one. Now listen, Abraham, this justification by faith, a great doctrine of the church that's so not taught anymore. Justification is one of the most glorious doctrines in the Word of God. Abraham, loved one, he wasn't made righteous. That's a false teaching. He wasn't made righteous. It was counted to Abraham as righteousness. Now listen, that's your position. If you're in Christ, that's your position and my position. We have been given over into our account the perfect, spotless, sinless record of Jesus Christ. Amen? Oh, man. The Bible tells us in Romans 5:1, therefore, having been justified, having been past fact, past in the past, a present reality, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now listen, the great doctrine of justification by faith alone. Justification, loved one, listen, is not something that happens in us, okay? Sanctification is. That's the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. He changes us from glory to glory to glory into the same image of our Lord and Savior, Jesus. But justification, it's not something that happens in us. It's something that happens to us. It's not even a feeling. It's a fact. The moment that when you first came to Christ, you didn't know that God said, not guilty. You didn't know that. You couldn't spell the word justification. You know what I mean? No, it's not a feeling. It's a fact. It's a change in our relationship with God. It's whenever the believing sinner, Jesus be the Lord of my life, it's a judicial decree in heaven. God says, not guilty. Justification, just as if I had never, ever sinned. Now listen, justification is not pardon. You know, when you get pulled over and you get a ticket or say, what would be worse, a DUI? Oh, and they put you in jail. Is that on your record? This side's in trouble, I can see it. Is that on your record? Is it going to always be on your record? Yes. See, justification is not pardon. If you have something with the police, they have it on your record. It'll always be on your record, even though you paid the fine, even though maybe served time. And then what? It's still there, but it's been paid for. Now, but it'll always be on your record. Justification is not pardon. Justification is what I call the great delete button, okay? It's like I told the first service. I said, you know, you probably have a computer, right? I don't know why this second service, you're always mean. The first service loves me, you know? No, you have a computer, right? Have you ever, you know, worked on a document and you hit delete and you didn't want to hit delete? Yes. When I first started doing the computer, see, I'm from the old way. We didn't do that. When I prepared sermons, I did it the old way. I went up to the mount. No. You know, we had pencil and paper. We opened our Greek books and our Hebrew books. You know what I'm saying? But now you can just do your computer and type out and all the rest of it. And you can't believe when I first started learning how many sermons I deleted. Did you know once they are deleted, can you get them back? No. You don't know the heart attacks I nearly had on Sunday morning because I've just finished it up and I'm learning. So I hit that and it goes, and it's gone. That's pressure. Now listen, justification. When a person says Jesus and means it in their heart, oh, Lord, be the Lord of my life. Lord, please, forgive me, and so forth. You know what happens? There is God with the gavel. It's the delete button. Everything that you have ever, sin you've ever committed, will ever commit. No one wants to sin. If you're a believer, you don't want to get in sin. Do you understand me? Grace doesn't say, oh, I can live any way I want to. Amen? Okay. No, man, I mean, it's just as if you had never sinned. It's all deleted. You're not made righteous, but what happens is he gives you Jesus' righteousness. Amen? Now, so what God demands from every person that's born, he demands that you must be equal in standing with him. And there's no way that we can do that. We all break the law. So what does God do? What God demands from every person by his incredible grace, his unbelievable love, he provides for man. Trust my son. He died for you. The moment you really do that, you are justified before God.
Unfortunately, we're out of time for today, but Pastor Bill will conclude this message on tomorrow's program, and we trust you'll join us again. Thanks, everyone, for listening along with us. Be blessed today, and we'll see you next time. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app.
Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.